Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
So we're talking about letting your light shine. You know, we want to let our light shine in the darkest of places. In the darkest of places. And you may be discouraged because you've been gathering with other light. You know, light, yeah. light. How's right. your light? Oh, my light's cool. What color is your light? You know, how bright is your light?
All right. Like, what color is your light?
Yeah. Can you stop quoting scriptures? Take those scriptures to the dark places, okay? You know what I'm saying? It's like, I read the Bible too. You know, it's like, and it's just like all this light amongst light. It's like, okay, what do you say? What does a good father say when he walks in the house? Do we need all these lights on? Turn these lights on.
All the time.
Do we need all 50 lamps on right now? Do we need everything on? It's unnecessary.
Yeah.
It's unnecessary because the light doesn't belong with more light. Light belongs in the darkness.
Yeah.
And when this light belongs in darkness, it's supposed to show the love of God. Because let me tell you something. God loves people. His heart burns for people. I mean, he Jesus came for people. He died for people. He rescued people. You know what I'm saying? The only thing we could take to heaven is people. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It's all about people. And God loves them. And we play a segment kind of often on VFN radio. But again, it's important because we need to be reminded. Not only do we be reminded, but so many are joining us on VFN radio on a daily basis. You may or may not heard of who does God love? And if you heard this once, you need to hear it over again. Because when we truly understand that God really loves everyone, it's amazing the type of biases, the type of things that the ugliness that can creep into our heart that we say, someone else is called to go to those guys. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'll let my light shine here in this little corner. Like, no. God loves everyone. Mm-hmm. And we got to get a heavenly perspective instead of a carnal perspective. We have to stop seeing with our own natural eyes and begin to start seeing people through the eyes of God. How does God see them? And I tell you, when you start looking at people through God's perspective, through God's, and everything changes. You go through a supermarket or you go through a store, you go through a certain situation, you know, a certain place mm-hmm. where there's a lot of people, and you start looking at them, how does God feel about that person?
Yeah.
And it's amazing. It's amazing how any kind of just ideas that are not godly about them just begin to melt in front of them. You realize God loves them. And if God loves them, think I should love them. Mm-hmm. And so I want you to listen to this segment. It's called Who Does God Love? We come back, we'll kind of talk about it some more and just share and just soak on this. Listen up.
I want to talk about this morning, you know, before we're, you know, the time of course moves quickly as we are speaking, but this is so important. We have some things we want to unfold because you need a foundation in your life. You need to know our foundation. Of course, a foundation is different than a cornerstone. A cornerstone is what you build off of. A foundation is what you lay down. And people say, well, your foundation is Jesus Christ. No, our cornerstone is Jesus Christ. Everything is laid from the plumb line of the cornerstone. And so our foundation is God's word. You know, what he says about everything. It's not, oh, just Jesus. Like, no, it's Jesus is what Jesus says. You know, and so in this in one aspect of that, you know, and you're hearing us kind of lay down some of those foundations so you can kind of understand where we're coming from. It's important because there's nothing more evil than a religious spirit, and a religious spirit hears things differently, mm-hmm. and they begin to accuse in a way when somebody else was just talking about what is, but then God's perspective of that or looking, searching out what God's perspective is. The question, this is a very, very important question that I want to just think about and just begin a conversation about, and it's so important to know the answer to this question because it'll change how you handle everything. How you relate to your family, how you relate to your spouse, how you relate to your parents or your kids or your boss, or how you relate to your neighbor, how you relate to your people that are in your church gathering or not, how you relate to people who are in other religions. You know, this is the question. The question is, Who does God love? Who does God love? I mean, you think about that. That's such an important question, because when you look around, you start, everybody, you know, who don't understand what we're going to talk about, I'm going to be talking about, is that if you look at them, it seems like they're saying God loves them. You know, they're saying, this is what they're saying. They're saying, God loves me. God loves me. Mm. You know, mm-hmm. And then when they express everything else, it's like, and God hates you.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll change your perspective when we begin to answer that question, you know, who does God love? And when we find this out, it'll cause you to look at the news differently. It'll cause you to look at people differently, men differently, women, children, people of other ethnic groups differently, people of other nations differently, people of other political affiliations differently. I mean, everything's different. It's totally different. You got to get this, because, you know, one of the foundational truths that we talked about is, like, who are you calling good? And you can go to VFN TV and watch that. You need to watch it, because if we don't get past that revelation, is that you go around trying to be good and you aren't. And so you're constantly defeated, and everybody thinks you're good. And so they don't look to good himself, which is God. And Jesus said, who are you calling good, when they called him good teacher? The only one good is God. And so you can see that on VFN TV. Now the question that we're asking is, you know, who does God love? And if you really talk to people who are caught up in oppression and a religious spirit of the land, that a lot of people claim to be related to God or to a God, but they don't feel loved by God. You know, and that's the one thing the enemy wants to destroy, is the question and the answer to the question, who does God love? Mm-hmm. Here's the answer. God loves mankind.
Mm-hmm.
That men, everybody that you've ever seen before in your life, everybody that you're ever going to see, and people that you're seeing now, they're created in the image and the likeness of God. No matter what they're doing, what they have done, that he loves them. Mm-hmm. Which is you. He's never stopped loving you. He's never stopped loving, quote, them, unquote. He loves mankind. I mean, he tells us, you know, while we were yet sinners, while we were just cursing his name, while we were refusing to hear anything he had to say, while we were living our life totally opposite of him, even creating new versions of what we called him that wasn't him, he still was madly in love with us and is madly in love with you.
Mm-hmm.
Not madly. I don't like that word. He is deeply in love with mankind. And so what is while we were yet a sinner, while we were, well, and a sinner, sin means missing the mark. And the mark is God's laws, God's commands. And God says, this is the way it's going to go. And so sin means we don't do it God's way. That's sin.
Mm-hmm.
And every man has sinned and fallen short. And so when we were doing things not God's way, intentionally or unintentionally, God loves us. God loved us, and God loves us. It means that God's love for man and women who are held captive by a religious spirit and even seem to be hateful, that God loves them. God loves hateful people. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It means that God loves the church leaders that seem to have sold out for political correctness and now skipped over the parts of God's word and truth that cause people to feel uncomfortable. They've compromised God's word.
Mm-hmm.
God loves that man. God loves that woman. While we were yet a sinner. You have to understand, if you misunderstand this, you'll begin to be a religious person instead of a message person that's delivering God's message of love to mankind. It means this. What does that mean? It means that God loves the man and woman who has sought to profit financially by establishing an organization or joining an organization, religious, that have used it to transfer finances of God's people to fuel their lavish lifestyles, their mansions, their planes, their luxury vacations, while God's people are deceived in giving towards that and trying to scrimp and eke out a living even to pay their rent. I mean, we got to get this. We're trying to build a dimension of God's love here.
Right.
We have to understand this. This is God's not delivering religion. Religion is what put Jesus on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Love is what will get you to willingly say, I will put myself on the cross. What does it mean? It means that God loves men and women who struggle with, who have given themselves over to the gay or lesbian lifestyle, including those who chose to be married. I mean, you see people today, they're yelling, hey. Mm-hmm. I was like, dude, that's not the message of God. It's not gonna help.
You just
made them seem like they're hated by God. The truth is they're loved by God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It means that God loves Americans who vote and those who don't vote. He loves Republicans, Democrats, Independents, and whatever party that's out there.
Right.
This is important because you're hearing people hate people who don't think like them. And then they migrate God's, they lie about God, saying God hates them too because I hate them.
Right.
And God loves. Who does God love? While we were yet a sinner, God, wait a minute, what does that mean? That means that God loves mankind. Well, he loves mankind. What does that mean? The people that you hate, he loves.
Mm-hmm.
If you do hate. I mean, hopefully when we finish here, you'll become a believer, you know, and right. Leave your religion and get into a relationship with God who loves you. It means that God loves that tattooed and or pierced man or woman, and he even loves the one who never tattooed themselves or pierced themselves. He loves them both the same. That's what it means. It means God loves the presidents in the world. God loves kings. God loves queens. God loves dictators. God loves socialists, Marxists, and communists.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, somebody... you know, said, I can't believe you're not a, and he named a party, and it's like, that's God's party. Dude.
Don't even put that on God.
Who does God love? God loves Jews, Arabs, Chinese, Spaniards, Germans, Indians, Russians, Americans, Canadians, Mexicans, Africans, Egyptians, Syrians, Jordanians, Hungarians. He just loves all of us. God's not in your box. Listen, if we want to save this country, mm-hmm. It'll begin with understanding what I'm talking about. Because we're divided now because religion said that God loves this person but doesn't love that person. And so we don't deliver God's message of love that brings people to a loving God. It means this. It means that God, if, you know, while we were yet a sinner, Christ died for us, for God so loved the world that he gave. What does it mean? It means that God loves Muslims, God loves Hindus, God loves Mormons, Christians, Buddhists, Catholics, Baptists, Pentecostals, Methodists, Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witness, Scientologists, and all the many, many different people who have a different, yeah.
Because
mm-hmm. They're human beings created right. In the image and the likeness of God.
Right.
I mean, stop me if I'm wrong. I mean, if any point, this is not biblically or doctrinally correct because we are not, why should we even have this country as Christians Why should we say, hey, this is a Christian nation when we don't even minister the love of God? It means God loves your ex-wife and your ex-husband.
Mm-hmm.
God's not buying into your ex-spouse's evil. God loves your ex-spouse. And the way that you're ridiculing your kid's father in front of them, ma'am, is not a witness of the love of God.
Mm.
God loves your children's father. It means that God loves absent fathers' children. It means that God loves the man or woman who is addicted to alcohol, drugs, who continually seems to squander every attempt for them to be rescued because the addiction pulls them back on the street. Listen, God loves that man. God loves that woman. It means that God loves the victims of crime, but he also loves the suspects in the crime. Mm. It means that God loves everyone in prison, including the warden, the guards, the cooks, the prisoners, and the visitors. It means that God loves the abuser and the abused. It means that God loves men and women who have skin color that's different than yours. It means that God loves women and men and children all the same. It means that God loves the oppressed and the oppressor. It means that God loves the man and the woman who sits lost in the crowd of a man and a woman who stood in front of the crowd for years teaching the word of God the very same way. You can't see them in the back, but God loves them the same.
Mm-hmm.
It means that God loves the one who stayed faithful in God for years and hasn't given their life over to sin, but it also means that God loves the prodigal son and daughter who once walked with him. The presence of God's people, even though they walked in it at one time and they squandered their life for sexual sin and self-indulgence, whatever it is, God's in love with the backslider. That's what it means. It means God loves the man and the woman who sits hours after hours behind computers, mobile devices, and cell phones, filled with lust in their heart for sexual images that are just all over the internet. It means that God loves the Christian man and the Christian woman who wants to walk right before God, but they just keep falling again and again, over again, and wiping themselves off and resetting themselves again and say, you know, I'm going to follow God. I've failed, but I'm going to follow God. It means that God loves the ministers who profess to be spreading his kingdom, but in reality, they're building their own kingdom.
Hmm.
It means that God loves those who cheat on their taxes and those who pride themselves on paying every dime. It means that God loves the man or woman who uses their God-given gifts such as music, prophecy, speaking, deliverance, healing for means, for profit, for financial gain. But it also means that God loves the man and the woman who uses it rightly.
Mm-hmm.
It means that God loves your enemies. And when Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:43-44, he tells us, you know, that he's asking us to do the very same thing that he does himself. He says, listen, he says, you have heard, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I tell you, this is Jesus who you profess to follow. He says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of our Father in heaven. He's not asking us to do something that he hasn't done himself.
Mm-hmm.
When we get this truth, the revelation of God's love towards mankind, it's going to be easier for you to forgive those who sinned against you. It's going to be easier for you to love those that are difficult to love. It's going to be easier to experience loss and persecution without retaliation. For us to retaliate, we're retaliating against that man or woman that God loves.
Mm.
For us to hold unforgiveness towards somebody, we're holding unforgiveness towards someone that God loves. That's why he says, if you forgive, I'll forgive.
Mm-hmm.
How can we hate the one God loves and claim that we're sons of God when we're hating the one he loves? It means that God's love for us is for all of us while we were still sinners. And that means what? Not doing things God's way. He loved us so much, every one of us, that he died for us. He died for you. Why did he do that? Because he needed to be a sacrifice. Something had to be done. He loved you so much, and there was an issue between, there was a distance between you. There was something, there was this chasm between you and the one that loves you, and it had to be dealt with. And the only way it could be dealt with, because he loves you so much, it had to be dealt with by taking his son, whom he loved, to be a sacrifice for you. A payment had to be made. There had to be a payment. It's like, I love my son, but I love you too. I love this guy and that guy and this woman and that woman and this child. And I love all these nations. I love, there's a chasm between us called sin, and it has to be dealt with, but it's not them. It's the sin. And I love them. I don't love that thing that separates me from them because I want to be with them. So as the adversary seeks to divide men and women, nation from nation, kingdom against kingdom, know that despite all man is doing to divide and conquer mankind, that God is still seeking to unite us, to unite mankind, whom he loves, with himself, through his son, Jesus Christ. Don't fall prey to the adversary's tactic that tells you God hates, and you fill in the blank. The category of a person. Because it's not true. God loves them. For God is love. He so loved the world. That's us, mankind. That he gave his son. Whoever. That's all of us. Whosoever believes in him would not perish, but we won't. We can be with him forever. We'll have eternal life. Why? Because he wants to be with you forever. He loves you so much. I don't care, ma'am, what religion told you. God loves you. Don't take your life, Idaho. 7% of the children, they're going to school, that you've been surveyed, and they say that you want to end your life. Don't end your life. That's the devil. God loves you. You're struggling with your sexual identity. God loves you. I know religion said that God hates you. That's the devil speaking through them. God loves you, and God's got a plan for your life. He loves you so much, he wants to be with you forever. Our distance from the one who loves us, God, is not measured in miles and feet and inches. I mean, imagine being in love with that which you're in love with, that person, and that there's something between you, and all of a sudden you begin to hate that thing that's between you. You don't hate the one you love. You're wanting to get everything out of the way that's between you two. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden people start calling you what you're wrestling with instead of saying, no, he's in love with me. He just hates that thing that's trying to take me down. Our distance from the one who loves us is only measured not in feet, not in inches, not in miles. It's measured in sin. The more sin, the more distance. You see, God is in love with the sinner. God loves you. He just hates the thing that's in between you and him, that separates intimacy with him, you and him. He'll forgive it all. He loves you so much, he gave his son for that opportunity. It's so important for us to be sons and daughters of God. And a true son and daughter of God understands that no matter what, no matter how, no matter our loss because of sin or someone else's sin towards us, that God loves us and God loves them. Therefore, we love God and we love others. Therefore, to win the objects, mankind, of God's affection, we must make sure we let them know how much he loves them and why sin is preached against. It's the divider between him and them. And he so desperately wants to be with you, he will shake the world to let you know he loves you and he will forgive you. and he'll restore the years the locusts have devoured. And that's why all those religious mouths are trying to ridicule you and condemn you, because that Satan's got their tongue going, no, you can't go to him. I'm jealous of the love that he has for you. I was thrown out of heaven because I wanted to be him. And don't you love him? And I don't want you to know the love he has for you. And then so he condemns you. He ridicules you. And God's saying, oh, no, 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 no. 1 John tells us, 1 John chapter 4, 19 through 21, we love God because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet he hates his brother, John says it in the letter he's writing to the church. He says, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, who he has seen, can not love God, whom he has not seen. Mm-hmm. And he's given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. So this perspective, we've got to get this perspective. If not, you're going to sound like a jerk. You know, God's given you a love letter to deliver to somebody, and all you talk about is all the things that divide them from God's love, and you don't talk about them and that God loves them and God wants to spend time with them, and it's all about their intimate relationship, and God don't want to go between. You don't want you to be a go-between. He wants a personal relationship with them. And so this gross darkness is covering the earth, and you can just see it just kind of trying to defeat the very one thing that God loves. It's so important for us to do this one simple thing, and this is our driving force, and it's the greatest commandment and the greatest commission of everything else hangs on this. Everything in all creation hangs on this one thing I'm about to tell you. It's very simple, church. Love God. Love others. And lead others to do the same.
And we were just listening to who does God love? You know, there's a big difference, a huge difference between religion and love. A huge difference. And religion is just an outward appearance. It's just religious practices that have the appearance. But let me tell you, there's no God in it. It's just religious activity void of love. And if we're supposed to be Christ's ambassadors, I mean, God calls us to be his ambassadors on the face of this earth. An ambassador is a diplomatic official of the highest rank. He's sent from one nation to another as their representative. That's the highest person in that nation that represents the nation in which they came from. And if we're supposed to be God's representatives on the face of this earth, we're supposed to be the ambassadors, the diplomat, if you will. I think this is an important revelation to have, since love is the motivating factor of God.
All right.
For God so loved the world, not loved, but so loved the world that he gave his only son, John 3:16, right?
Mm-hmm.
That we should have an understanding and a grasp of who it is that God came to die for, that he came to redeem, that he came to win back. And what happens is that oftentimes we get stuck. We get stuck in a mindset. We get stuck in a prejudice. We get stuck in the ugliness of sin. We allow our environment. We allow our upbringing. We allow a stinking thinking and warped strongholds to stick around, to stay around. And these strongholds were meant to be demolished. These wrong patterns of thinking, a pride is supposed to be demolished before God. And so you can't say you love God and hate your brother.
Right.
Jesus said that whatever you've done to the least of these brothers of mine, you've done unto me. And so when we're not loving, we're not godding somebody.
Right.
Kind of messes up the whole thing here. You know what I'm saying? We need to possess this virtue of love. And one of the worst things we could ever do to anyone is withhold God's love. God's love is something that we should give freely. And we shouldn't start regulating and say, well, I'm going to love this person and not love that person. And start get back to 1 Corinthians 13 love. We're going to come back and start defining what love is. And not have such a loosey definition of love. Let's define love biblically, the way it needs to be defined, and measure yourself by that standard, not by your own standard. You know, because sometimes your standard does not measure up to what God's standard is.
Right.
So we need to be honest with ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
We need to be honest with ourselves. We need to check our hearts. We need to see if we withheld love, and do we have anything in our nature, anything on our hard drive, anything from our background and old stinking thinking about people, about their sin? I'm telling you, I mean, if Mother Teresa said that if we spend all of our time judging people, we won't have any time to love them.
Right.
I mean, that's profound. If you spend all your time criticizing people in this world and what their sin is and what their involvement and how God hates that, it's like, come on now.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, before you take the speck out of that person's eye, you got to be willing to deal with the plank, the log, the tree, the
right.
forest,
right.
in your own. You know, the thing is that are you just as zealous? Are you just as zealous when you start talking about other people's sins? Are you just as zealous when you're talking about them as you are when you're dealing with your own?
Mm-hmm.
Are you that aggressive when that you know, oh, I got to deal with this in my life? If there's a difference, then that's not right. You know, because we're getting to the place where just criticizing and judging, and if you're judging, you're not loving.
Right.
You're not loving. And so we want to get back. We want to get back to the true motive of God's heart. I mean, listen, in Romans 5, 6 is this, 6 through 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, we didn't make ourselves lovable.
As if we could.
You know, as if we could. God just looked at us and says, I love him. Just love him. I just love them. And if we embrace what God has done, if we embrace that same mindset, if you will, we're going to be appropriate ambassadors. We can't truly represent God if we don't have a good understanding of love. And who does he love?
Right.
Can you imagine? I'm Christ's ambassador. He loves you guys, but I'm not too sure about. I have to check with him if he loves you.
But I'll get back with you.
No, 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 no. He just rid off a whole part of the world. He just rid off a whole part of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And religion will do that. Religion, spirit of religion on you will say, "Oh, that's just wicked."
Right.
God hates that. Let me tell you, God hates all sin. Don't get into measuring.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
When we understand that God loves all of mankind,
mm-hmm.
then we'll get our stinking thinking off of it and say, God, change my heart. Give me your heart. Help me to love the way you love. Give me the eyes of compassion like you have compassion. You know, it's amazing how we can have so much compassion when we're going through something, but where that compassion lacks for somebody else.
Exactly.
And it's like, Lord, help me to have your heart for people. One of the greatest things that we need in this hour is a true heart of compassion. Mm-hmm. A true heart of compassion to really see what people are going through and what happened in their life. Everybody has a story. Mm-hmm. Everyone didn't arrive at a situation there by accident.
Mm-hmm.
And be careful before you put your mouth on it, because you know, you're judging what God created. That's what God created. So remember, who does God love? He loves everyone. So if he loves them,
then we got to love them.
We got to love them. We got to love them.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.